Thomas ignored him, more interested than ever in the outside of the glade. A maze? In front of him, through the east door, he could make out passages leading to the left, to the right, and straight ahead. And the walls of the corridors were similar to those that surrounded the glade, the ground made of the same massive stone blocks as in the courtyard. The ivy seemed even thicker out there. In the distance, more breaks in the walls led to other paths, and farther down, maybe 100 yards or so away, the straight passage came to a dead end. "Looks like a maze," Thomas whispered, almost laughing to himself, as if things couldn't have gotten any stranger. They'd wiped his memory and put him inside a gigantic maze. It was all so crazy, it really did seem funny. His heart skipped a beat when a boy unexpectedly appeared around a corner up ahead, entering the main passage from one of the offshoots to the right, running toward him and the glade. Covered in sweat, his face red, clothes sticking to his body, the boy didn't slow, hardly glancing at Thomas as he went past. He headed straight for the squat concrete building located near the box. Thomas turned as he passed, his eyes riveted to the exhausted runner, unsure why this new development surprised him so much. Why wouldn't people go out and search the maze? Then he realized others were entering through the remaining 3 glade openings, all of them running and looking as ragged as the guy who just whisked by him. There couldn't be much good about the maze if these guys came back looking so weary and worn. He watched, curious, as they met at the big iron door of the small building. One of the boys turned the rusty wheel handle, grunting with the effort. Chuck had said something about runners earlier. What had they been doing out there? The big door finally popped open, and with a deafening squeal of metal against metal, the boys swung it wide. They disappeared inside, pulling it shut behind them with a loud clunk. Thomas stared, his mind churning to come up with any possible explanation for what he'd just witnessed. Nothing developed, but something about that creepy old building gave him goosebumps, a disquieting chill. Someone tugged on his sleeve, breaking him from his thoughts. Chuck had come back. Before Thomas had a chance to think, questions were rushing out of his mouth. "Who are those guys and what are they doing? What's in that building?" He wheeled around and pointed out the east door. "And why do you live inside a freaking maze?" He felt a rattling pressure of uncertainty, making his head splinter with pain. "I'm not saying another word," Chuck replied, a new authority filling his voice. "I think you should get to bed early. You'll need your sleep." "Ah!" He stopped, held up a finger, pricking up his right ear. "It's about to happen." "What?" Thomas asked, thinking it kind of strange that Chuck was suddenly acting like an adult instead of the little kid desperate for a friend he'd been only moments earlier. A loud boom exploded through the air, making Thomas jump. It was followed by a horrible crunching, grinding sound. He stumbled backward, fell to the ground. It felt as if the whole earth shook. He looked around, panicked. The walls were closing. The walls were really closing, trapping him inside the glade. An onrushing sense of claustrophobia stifled him, compressed his lungs as if water filled their cavities.
"Calm down, Greeny," Chuck yelled over the noise. "It's just the walls."
Thomas barely heard him, too fascinated, too shaken by the closing of the doors. He scrambled to his feet and took a few trembling steps back for a better view, finding it hard to believe what his eyes were seeing. The enormous stone wall to the right of them seemed to defy every known law of physics as it slid along the ground, throwing sparks and dust as it moved, rock against rock. The crunching sound rattled his bones. Thomas realized that only that wall was moving, heading for its neighbor to the left, ready to seal shut with its protruding rod slipping into the drilled holes across from it. He looked around at the other openings. It felt like his head was spinning faster than his body, and his stomach flipped over with the dizziness. On all 4 sides of the glade, only the right walls were moving, toward the left, closing the gap of the doors. "Impossible," he thought. "How can they do that?" He fought the urge to run out there, slip past the moving slabs of rock before they shut, flee the glade. Common sense won out. The maze held even more unknowns than his situation inside. He tried to picture in his mind how the structure of it all worked. Massive stone walls, hundreds of feet high, moving like sliding glass doors, an image from his past life that flashed through his thoughts. He tried to grasp the memory, hold on to it, complete the picture with faces, names, a place, but it faded into obscurity. A pang of sadness pricked through his other swirling emotions. He watched as the right wall reached the end of its journey, its connecting rods finding their mark and entering without a glitch. An echoing boom rumbled across the glade as all four doors sealed shut for the night. Thomas felt one final moment of trepidation, a quick slice of fear through his body, and then it vanished. A surprising sense of calm eased his nerves. He let out a long sigh of relief. "Wow," he said, feeling dumb at such a monumental understatement.
"Ain't nothing, as Albie would say," Chuck murmured. "You kind of get used to it after a while."
Thomas looked around one more time, the feel of the place completely different now that all the walls were solid with no way out. He tried to imagine the purpose of such a thing, and he didn't know which guess was worse. That they were being sealed in, or that they were being protected from something out there. The thought ended his brief moment of calm, stirring in his mind a million possibilities of what might live in the maze outside, all of them terrifying. Fear gripped him once again.
"Come on," Chuck said, pulling at Thomas's sleeve a second time.
"Trust me, when nighttime strikes, you want to be in bed."
Thomas knew he had no other choice. He did his best to suppress everything he was feeling, and followed.